perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and it is a pleasure to have you with us. Whether you're listening from the swamps of Louisiana all the way up to the plains of Wisconsin, we welcome you to the program, and thank you for being here. As I mentioned during a past couple episodes, we are recording at the National Catholic Charismatic Renewal Leaders and Ministries Conference here in Dallas, Texas, and we have an awesome lineup and have had an awesome lineup of speakers. This episode, Bishop Sam Jacobs, and he is the Bishop Emeritus of Houma Thibodaux, right?
Right.
All right, very good. And so, Bishop Jacobs, you are just an amazing person. I've heard you.
I was very involved. I was very effective. I was very popular. And being an associate, you're always popular. The pastor's not the popular one. The young associate is. Everything was going my way, except in the center of my heart, I felt a hole. And after 5 years of being a priest, I had to ask that question, what's missing? Mm-hmm. You know, and I cried out to the Lord, Lord, what is that void in my life? And I cried out for a number of months to the Lord with no answer. And during that summer, one of our religious sisters in the parish had gone out to Boston to do some summer school work, and she attended her first charismatic prayer meeting, and she wrote back and says, I got some good news to share with you when I get home. She came back, shared her experience and said, I invited a priest to come and share with us about this new movement of the Spirit. I said, good. She says, can we meet with about 15, 20 people when he comes? I said, sure. So we gathered about 15 lay people, and we went to a camp, and he came in, and he gave us, I think, would be something akin to a two-hour Life in the Spirit seminar.
Okay.
Now, I don't remember anything he said, except two ideas hit me right in the square of my gut. And that was, Jesus must be the Lord of your life. And if you if you want to be effective, you have to be effective in the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And it was like a revelation to me at that moment that that's what God was trying to teach me. That was the hole in my heart. That Jesus wasn't the Lord. I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus, but he wasn't the Lord of my life. And I was doing all my ministry on my own power, not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And so that night I gave my life to the Lord, and I invited the Holy Spirit to come and lead me. And from that moment, that was the moment of my baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful. You know, you mentioned Lord, you know, and you want to explain that for people? Because there's a lot of people out there who believe in Jesus. They might think he's God, but what does Lord really mean?
Well, if you draw a circle and you put everything in that circle that's part of your life, where is Jesus? Is he at the fringe? Is he one among many? Or is he at the center of your life? For Jesus to be Lord, he has to be at the center of our life. He can't be second, third, fourth, fifth, one among many. He has to be the center. And that's why he says, you know, unless you leave your father, mother, your brother and sister, and come follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And he's saying, I've got to be central in your life. That realization that the centrality of Jesus will make a difference in my life. And that's what happened.
That's so beautiful. So as you continue to follow the Spirit in your life and grow in the Holy Spirit, I'm sure just a flood of graces impacted your priesthood as well and began to flow through that. You want to talk about any of those different graces?
Well, I think, you know, looking back, I really can say this with great respect and confidence, that if that experience hadn't happened, if I had not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I'm not sure if I would be a priest today. Or if I would be a priest, I'd probably be an angry, cynical, judgmental, negative priest. All right?
Okay.
And that's one thing I didn't want to be. And yet I could see that could happen. And so God delivered me from that situation. And I began to realize, you know, that my preaching became more anointed. And God was using my preaching to speak his word to the people's hearts. And I could see it many times when people would come after Mass and say, oh, Father, thank you for saying X. And I know I didn't say X. Yeah. I didn't say it because I know what I said.
Right.
But God said it in their heart, even though he used my voice to say something to their hearts. And so the miracle of the anointing of the God's power begins to become more obvious to me. In counseling, I began to zero in on the real situations of people, in praying for healing, seeing healing taking place, so I could see the results of the lead of the Holy Spirit in my life.
And that's so beautiful. You know, I think a lot of people don't see that in their lives because God is in center.
Right.
And so the challenge for young people, for young adults, and you might even run into this in your interfacing with young seminarians or young priests, helping them do that, right? Because, you know, while the sacraments are central to the church, but Jesus has to be the root of all that.
Right, right.
So beautiful.
And so I would say that the effectiveness of the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit has transformed my life, and in transforming my life has enabled me to help others to be transformed.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I appreciate, and you know, you have been in the renewal for such a long time, right? I mean, almost from the beginning.
Well, 1969, that was that event in my life.
Yeah, so yeah, just a couple years after.
Yes,
A couple years after. And, you know, so talk a little bit about the move to the episcopacy, just you know, and your episcopate, because, you know, I don't see many blatantly charismatic bishops other than yourself. I mean, you know, it's hard to find them, so... Talk a little about that.
Well, I think it shows that God has a sense of humor, because that was the last thing I wanted to be. I wanted to be a pastor, and I just enjoyed pastoring and had no desire to be a bishop. But my bishop saw something that he wanted to look at. And he is the one that submitted my name without me even knowing. And that's the beauty of the process. You're the last person to know that you're being considered to be a bishop. My bishop slipped three times, not intentionally, but he slipped three times, but I didn't catch any of those slips.
Okay? Oh, my gosh.
And so one of the things that he had asked me to do was, after coming back from vacation, to set up a formation house for prospective seminarians. And I had been asking 2 years to do that. Finally, he says, I know you've been asking for this. When you come back from vacation, go ahead and open this house. Here's the key, et cetera. And I was excited. So I went on vacation to Colorado with some friends. And the first week of vacation, I'm just thinking about this house of formation and what it's going to look like and all what's how we're going to live, et cetera. And so Thursday morning, I get there's a phone call. I'm downstairs, and the people I'm with are upstairs, and I hear them say, "Bishop, yes, he's downstairs." And I'm saying to myself, "Why is the bishop calling?" Yeah. Because I had told my secretary, "Don't give this number out to anybody except an emergency, and the only emergency is the death of my brother." I said, "I don't care if anything else happened, but the death of my brother, yeah, call me. Yeah. But otherwise don't call me." And so when he's calling, I'm saying, "Uh-oh, this must be an emergency. This is serious."
Yeah.
So he called back. I answered the phone. He says, "Are you standing or are you sitting?" I said, "I'm standing." He says, "Sit." Well, I know it's something serious
right,
now.
Right.
Okay. And so he says, "You have been appointed Bishop of Alexandria. We accept." I said, "What? You got to be kidding." He says, "No, they've been tracking you down for 3 days and they can't get you because you've been on vacation and your secretary wouldn't give the number out." So I said, "Oh, Bishop, I don't know. This is, you know, from a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10. He says, "Yes, but God makes 10s ones." Yeah. I said, "How do I know this is God?" He says, "Trust me." I said, "No, I can't." I said, "Let me pray about it." And so I took 2 hours and prayed, and all I got from God was, "What has been my track record with you? When you have been obedient to me, have you not seen my will?" Mm-hmm. "So I'm asking you to be obedient." So I said, "Okay, I don't understand, but if this is what God wants me to do, I will embrace it in obedience." And so it's been a blessing, yeah. but my druthers is not the administration,
right,
but the ministry.
Yeah.
Because my experience is that 80% of the life of a bishop is administration, and about 20% is ministry. Now, as a retired bishop, I have 100% of ministry and 0% of administration.
Congratulations! You have made it to right where God wants you, right?
I mean, that's why I was ordained a priest.
Yeah,
for ministry,
right? That is so beautiful. Bishop, I got to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to continue talking a little bit more about the charismatic renewal and the state of it today, because I know you got your finger on the pulse. So we'll be right back here on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder with Bishop Sam Jacobs.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of 4 children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered: How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com. On Amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by RememberYouAreLoved.com. Do you know that you are so lovable and so love-able because God is love? Yes, we have been made lovable. You are precious. You are valuable. You are worth creating, redeeming, and sanctifying, no matter what the world believes, no matter what you might believe, because of a wrong image of yourself. God looks upon you and smiles. We see in the book of Genesis that when God created everything, he looked at it and said, "It is good." When God looks at you, he says, "My child is good. You are lovable." And like God, you are love able. You have the capacity to love, to lay down your life for others. So let's go ahead and exercise our love ability, our ability to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. For more on love, find us on facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. Today we're talking with Bishop Sam Jacobs. He is a Bishop Emeritus of Houma-Thibodaux. All right, I'm still pronouncing it right. That's good. All right. And we're here at the National Catholic Charismatic Renewal Conference and Leaders and Ministries Conference down here in Dallas, Texas. And Bishop, we talked all about your personal journey through the renewal, but I kind of want to get the 20,000-foot view of it, you know, where we're going and, you know, within the next 50 years. You've had a great first 50 years, big celebration in Pittsburgh last summer. But where are we headed? You know, where is the Spirit moving us for the next 50?
Well, I think my vision of what is going on and looking back is that God always calls us back to the basics. Sometimes we get so wrapped up with doing all kinds of nice things and good things, but we miss sometimes the central purpose of why we began this journey.
Yeah.
And so I think God is calling us back to basics. And what's the basics? The basic is that, as the Holy Father has says, this is a current grace for the church. And the current grace of the church is to bring people into the awareness of the Holy Spirit and to the awareness of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and living a life of the Holy Spirit with Jesus Christ as Lord.
Yeah.
It's not that we forgot that completely, but we need to go back and say, okay, are we fulfilling the call that God gave us originally when the first group of young adults, college students, experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1967 on a retreat? What did they do? They just went out and shared the gospel. They went out and proclaimed the truth of God's love. They went out and exercised the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They witnessed their faith, etc. And people were brought because they saw the love of Christ in these people and their excitement about their faith. And so we have sometimes, we have sometimes become more a prayer club than a life-saving station, you know. We have to come back to the reality that we are meant to bring the truth of salvation to people and the power of the Holy Spirit into people so that they can turn, share it with others. And so... I think that's the direction I see the renewal is going into. As we look at it from a 30,000-foot level, the renewal seems to be sort of plateau or declining slightly among the Anglos, but among the ethnic groups around the country and throughout the world, it's blossoming, it's exploding. And many things are happening because they're maintaining their originality of their charism. And so I think that what's happening now is God is bringing us back to the basics to stir us up once more in order to be faithful to the charism that he's called us to bring that truth of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the life of the Holy Spirit, the centrality of Jesus Christ into the hearts of young people,
yes,
as well as older people.
We all need the Holy Spirit,
yes,
at every moment of our lives. In fact, as we sing these songs, you can't take a breath without the Holy Spirit, right? So, you know, the other thing that has recently happened and kind of happened around the Jubilee year was that the renewal has been moved into the heart of the church, right? It's gone from, you know, a different recognition, you know, to a more formal recognition in the Vatican. And what does that mean for, what is the theology of that? What does that mean for the people in the renewal to have that deepening and being really a part of the formal dicastery, whatever it is?
Right. Well, I think what the beauty of it is it gives sort of a stamp of approval. If we look back over the last three, four popes, there's been a consistent support of, affirmation of, encouragement of the charismatic renewal movement. But I want to sort of do an aside first. We're not to bring people into a movement as much as bring people into an experience. If they want to be part of the movement after the experience, that's good. But the more important thing is to bring them into that grace moment of living the life of the Holy Spirit. Because if we look at the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, one of the key phrases that Luke uses, especially in the first two chapters of the Gospel and throughout the Acts, is that this person was filled with the Holy Spirit, and this person was filled with the Holy Spirit, and this person was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like God saying, that's my plan. I want you to be filled with my Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so the realization is to bring the people into that experience so their lives can be transformed, and they in turn can transform the lives of others. And so with the recognition that the Holy Fathers have given us, and also the recognition that the bishops of this country back in the 70s, 75, 76, of saying that there's going to be in every diocese a liaison for the charismatic renewal, a liaison between the bishop and the charismatic renewal, spoke volumes.
Yeah.
There was no other liaison nationally in all the in the dioceses except the charismatic renewal. And as it says, this is what the church felt about the role of this movement. And so the realization is to have this endorsement by the Holy Father and the church, and then it's like an empowerment and validation that says, this is your call, this is your ministry, go and do it. You know, does that mean that everybody's going to accept it? No, you know,
right.
But at least it's good to say the Holy Father has said, this is what the Holy Father has taught, and you know, this we're not a fringe group,
right.
We're not just a fly by night situation. Mm-hmm. We are in the heart of the church.
Beautiful. And you know, that heart of the church has so many different expressions. As you were saying, I was reminded that, you know, all these different movements in the church have a founder. There is no founder to this movement.
Right.
There's no single person.
Right.
The person is the Holy Spirit.
Right, right.
And wow, beautiful, right?
Right. Well, I think we have to recognize that the Holy Spirit has moved in powerful ways and among many people with various charisms.
Yeah.
And it's not the charismatic renewal only. We have Garcia, we have Focolare, we have Communion Liberation. We have a number of entities that have risen over the years because of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit is moving, so we don't want to say, oh, only the charismatic renewal has the Holy Spirit. No, we want to recognize and work together so that we can share what God is doing in our lives with other people.
Yeah, and you know, that is almost right out of the catechism, right? I mean, what is that, number 701, I think, or what is something like that? It's so beautifully said. Our church says that these charisms, you know, can be simple and extraordinary. They can be humble or great, but they're all at the service of one Lord, one church.
Right.
How beautiful. Bishop Jacobs, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your insights and your spirit. You're an incredible preacher, but I want to... as we wrap up the interview, I want to make sure people get to know a little bit more about your ministry. As you said, you get to do 100% ministry now, and you've got a blog, right? You've
yes.
got a blog. You're out there doing that. So tell us about how people can get in touch with you and do the blog.
Well, the blog is called Spirit Aflame, SPIRITAFLAME.org. And what happens is that 5 days a week, I put out a spiritual thought. On Mondays, I also do an apologetic track. On Tuesday, reflection on next Sunday's gospel. On Wednesday, a homily. So that I have a variety of things to share with people so they hopefully become more spiritually fed. And so if you're interested in becoming part, it's free and there's no copyright. You can receive it and send it off to other friends. It is spiritaflame.org. If you put www.spiritaflame.org, you would come to the webpage, and then you can subscribe. And all I need is your email address, and name. And then once I receive that, then I will be sending that to you every day.
Oh, how cool. You get to be with part of Bishop Jacob's spiritual journey and spiritual life with the blog. Again, it's spiritoflame.org for all our listeners. Bishop, I have to ask you one more thing, and that is to give us a blessing for all our listeners, if you don't mind.
Lord, we just ask a special blessing upon all who are listening and continue to listen. We ask that you just bring them into that deeper awareness of your Lordship and the deeper awareness of the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For Bishop Sam Jacobs, I'm Bill Snyder. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278. The Contemplative Stations of the Cross audio devotional is now available from Patchwork Heart Ministry. This devotional features an introduction and overview of the theology, history, and spirituality of the Stations of the Cross by Father Bill Zimmer, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with an audio version of the Contemplative Stations of the Cross, led by author Bill Snyder, and the Stabat Mater, chanted in Latin by Marissa Ellison. CDs are $7.99, and digital downloads are only $3.99. Copies may be purchased by visiting patchworkheart.org or calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278. Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe, and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe. For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, she is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to Our Blessed Mother, please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by rememberyouareloved.com. Do you know how precious and priceless you are in God's eyes? Let me tell you, you were worth redeeming. God the Father sent His only begotten Son to take your place so that He might die your death so that you might live His life. That's how much God loves you. Christ paid the ultimate price for your salvation so that you might enjoy eternity with God, so that God might make you again into His image and likeness. If you ever doubt how much you're worth, if you ever wonder how precious you are, think of the cross, think of the love. Think of what God was willing to do for you and for me, for the sake of our salvation and sanctification, to love us day in and day out and for all eternity. For more on love, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.